okay, most people do not recognize where we are in terms of the rise and fall of the United States Empire and Western civilization and fiat currency, money expansion, i.e. money creation versus contraction and collapse. Look, these are the cycles of history. It's a cycle that we are in. It's just that most people don't realize where we are in that cycle. Remember when you used to go to the mall? I mean, the mall days, when, you know, 1980s, 1990s, I don't know. Does anybody even go to the mall anymore? I don't think so. But when we used to go to the mall, remember how there would be a kiosk and there would be a map of the mall and there would be a dot on the map. And what does the dot say? It says, you are here. You are here. We need a map like that for the rise and fall of civilizations, of currencies, you know, failing currencies, because it's the same kind of thing, okay? We are here, we are at a location in a defined cycle of history, and where we are, only a few people realize it. Like the people I've been interviewing, for example, you know, check out my interviews recently with Gregory Mannarino and Gerald Celente and Peter Schiff, and I've got David Morgan coming up as well. A lot of financial experts, John Perez a week ago. All of these people, they understand where we are. You are here. We are here. We are in the final blowout phase of the last chapter of the Western Empire, or I guess the Empire of Western Nations. This is it. This is the final chapter. There's no coming back from this. The banks would have failed a week ago, except for the bailouts. And the bailouts are created by printing money. So we're already in the phase where they have to print money to keep the system solvent. The system is bankrupt. The governments running the systems are bankrupt. The FDIC is bankrupt. And the central banks of Western nations are also bankrupt. Even the power to create unlimited amounts of currency, even that power cannot save the system. And yet, think about it, it's the only real tool that they have left. I mean, yes, central banks can raise and lower interest rates. That tool won't be enough. They can't raise rates enough to stop inflation. They would have to raise rates to 15% or something like that. Thousands of basis points, right? But they can't do that. And then they have money printing. And the money printing, every time they do it, it only makes the problem worse because it causes more inflation that they can't fight. And so the way this ends, it's now congealing. It's becoming quite clear. It ends in hyperinflation, you know, Weimar Republic of Germany type of scenario where the dollars become worthless because the bailout money printing is off the charts insane. That's how this ends. Now, importantly, as this is ending, there are so many mechanisms that the powers that be will use, you know, wars and another plague, another crisis, false flags, accusations of cyber hacking, you know, bringing down the banking system, bringing down the power grid, all kinds of little ploys and tactics that they will use to try to maintain power and maintain a never-ending emergency crisis situation so they can inflict their totalitarianism on the population. And the typical oblivious person will think that, oh my gosh, what bad luck. Look at all these horrible things that are happening, you know. Good thing the government's saving us with whatever, universal basic income, stimulus money, digital currency handouts, whatever the case may be, digital currency food stamps, you know. But the average person doesn't realize the governments are creating all these problems in order to stay in power. And the reason the oblivious masses believe that is because they don't know where they are on the map of collapse. Right? I mean, maybe that's what I should call this podcast. You are here on the map of systemic collapse. People don't realize where they are. they think that we're still living in the 1990s or something, where there's at least the potential of, you know, getting the national debt under control, where there's the potential of getting back to normal and having a supply chain that functions and, you know, doing well by working hard and saving money, and your money will still have value and so on. We are so far past that. Those are delusional memes at this point. We're never going back to that. But because people misunderstand where we are, they make decisions thinking that we are, you know, a few decades earlier. And we're not. We're in the final phase. So people make the mistake of thinking that, oh, if they put money in the bank, that money will hold value. Not true at all. It's already losing value, as you know, 2% per month right now. And that will drastically increase even this year. You know, people make all kinds of misjudgments that lead to catastrophic situations. Have you ever heard about like a 65-car pileup on the highway in dense fog, right? How does that happen? Oh, lack of judgment, driving too fast for the fog, where you can't see where the cars are in front of you, and so you don't have stopping distance. That's a pretty good metaphor for where we are with the economy right now, with money printing. They've created the fog of easy money, and this fog has deceived everyone into thinking that they can cruise at a high speed without consequence because they can't see the wreck ahead, right? And they're cruising along, and then all of a sudden, the wreck is in their face, and they have collided with it where they didn't even have time to react. Even if they slammed on the brakes, there just wasn't enough stopping distance because of the laws of physics. Well, in terms of the economy, we talk about the laws of economics, right? There's no stopping distance. They've already blown the system. They've already printed too much money. They kept rates too low for too long. They had too much expansion. And when they pivot, as Gregory Mannarino explained in my recent interview with him, when they pivot, the system's done. This is the last cycle. This is the last age. This is the end of the dollar. This is the end of the American empire. This is the end of the West. This is the end of the Euro, the European Union, the ECB, the central bank. This is the end of the system that you and I have known for our entire lives, and even the system that our parents and grandparents knew for their lives. It's just about over. Now, throughout history, currencies have ended, nations have ended, kingdoms, obviously, have ended, central banks have ended. Civilizations have fallen, quite literally hundreds of them. I mean, you don't tend to think about that right now, today, when you're living in the now and everything seems to be functioning. I can still buy gas, I can still buy groceries, you know, there's still traffic on the highways. It's not necessarily easy to realize that we have inherited a world that was previously inhabited by hundreds of different civilizations that rose and fell, and many of them collapsed because of course, well, finance and fiat currencies. Some fell because of war, some fell because of ecological changes, such as the Anasazi Indians of modern-day Arizona. It wiped out the food supply, you know, right? Some civilizations fell because they destroyed their own ecosystems, you know, like Easter Island, I think, and other examples. But most of the collapse scenarios that have taken place throughout human history have been inflicted because of finance. And many of the wars were caused by, you know, bankers' wars, which became kinetic wars. That was World War II, by the way. And never forget that it was Western banks that financed Adolf Hitler at the time, right? So the wars have always been fought over money, and money has always been a means of control that has been weaponized against either the people or, in some cases, against other nations. So it's very easy for any of us, frankly, to look at the way things are right now and think that that's the way they're going to stay, and not realize that we are living in a cycle of history. And after the collapse of this civilization, the next civilization will look back and say, wow, that U.S. empire, what a blowout. That was wild. That was the craziest thing in history. Look at what they did. They created, you know, $30 trillion in government debt and hundreds of trillions of dollars in derivatives debt. They financialized their entire system. They abandoned real manufacturing, and they depended on manufacturing and imports from other countries like China. They didn't defend their borders. They didn't defend their culture. They didn't defend their education system. They allowed election rigging. They allowed fake news. They allowed fake science, lockdowns. They committed vaccine suicide. They're like, wow, this is the craziest thing in history. No wonder they collapse, right? After the collapse, it will all be obvious. The historians will look back and say, we're curious how it lasted as long as it did. You know, why didn't it collapse sooner? You know, nobody's going to look back at the collapse of Western civilizations like Western Europe and America. No one's going to look back at that and scratch their heads and say, huh, we can't figure out why that collapsed. You know, drag queen story time for three-year-olds. Mutilating the genitalia of children in the name of progress. Weird. Condemning molecules like carbon dioxide that are necessary for photosynthesis. We can't figure out why they collapsed. No, it's going to be obvious. They went insane. You know, the cult of LGBT or wokeism took over, and everybody lost their freaking minds, and then they killed themselves with mRNA jabs. They destroyed their economies. They locked down their cities. They printed their currency into oblivion. Yeah, they tried to start World War III. Right? The government took over all the media, pushed propaganda, lie after lie after lie. And of course they collapsed. So here we are on the map of the cycle of collapse that has repeated again and again throughout human history. And there is an off-ramp. There is a way to survive the collapse unscathed. And in fact, if you go throughout history and you look at who made it out of these other collapses, they're simple examples. Like, for example, in Europe, the wealthy would take their fine art and roll it up and stick it in a tube, and they would grab the title to their land, you know, as the hordes were approaching, and they would get out of Dodge. They would leave. Even wealthy people, they would leave with title to their land and some fine art and probably some gold coins, and they would leave. But they would hold title to things that held value, right? Fine art, a piece of land that they could make a claim against later on, you know, after the hordes left or were conquered or whatever. Or even after there was a kind of a great reset of history, they could go back and at least make a claim to that piece of land. Like, here's my deed. I bought it fair and square. They could argue that, right? Or maybe they have some gold, and the gold holds value throughout the collapse of civilization. So they have the gold. The point is, the people who made it through, they got into assets that would not collapse even as their nation collapsed or their currency collapsed. And then they were mobile, if necessary. I'm not saying you have to be ready to leave where you are. I don't plan to leave Texas. But if you're in California, I would say you might want to have a plan to leave California. Or, you know, Chicago, or you get the idea. Any of these crazy, insane left-wing places, you probably need to have a mobility plan. And you need to have a portable form of wealth that can survive the collapse. And that could include today. It could include crypto, by the way. Crypto has a role to play, right? It's very, very portable. That's the one thing I really like about it. It's decentralized, and the central banks can't just print more Bitcoin. See, the banking collapse that's happening right now is really highlighting a lot of advantages of crypto that maybe didn't matter as much before, but now they suddenly matter a lot. Like, you know, algorithmically imposed scarcity on certain coins, for example. So that's something to consider. But whatever you do, recognize that you are here. We are in the final collapse. This is going to take years to play out, by the way. I'm not trying to say it's going to be, you know, next Friday. No, this is going to take years to play out. It will be a slow, suffering, terrible downfall. And at every stage of it, the government will impose more and more authoritarian restrictions and tyranny and censorship and confiscation of wealth, bank bail-ins, all of it. Year after year, for the years to come, life is going to be hell under this collapse. But the sooner you take action to be ready against this, the better off you're going to be. So take action now while you can. Have a plan to get into assets that will survive the collapse, whatever that may be, real estate, gold, silver, fine art, for that matter. If you know about fine art, go for it. If you think somebody's going to pay for it later, go for it. Or even collectibles. If you're an expert in an area that can hold value, go for it. But if you're not an expert, you know, hey, it's gold and silver and ammo and land and maybe crypto in certain, you know, for some amount and things like that. But get moving on this now because the final collapse has begun. The banking system is insolvent. The currency is becoming worthless. The central banks will print into oblivion. The governments are run by incompetent woke idiots. On and on. This is it. Western civilization does not survive. It will end. And there will be, you know, hundreds of millions of people who starve to death and die through the violence and the wars and what have you. So population collapse it's here. It has begun. Banking system collapse has begun. Government collapse you could argue it's already begun, but it will accelerate. And take steps now in order to make it through this. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also, of course, brighteon.com. Take care.